Well, where do you think the greatest war that's going on in the world right now would be? Where would it be? Name the country, name the place. What would you identify as the greatest war that is going on in the world today? Let me submit to you that the greatest war going on today is right where you're sitting, within you. Every one of us have a battle going on, just like the Apostle Paul talked about. He said, there's something going on inside of me that I want to do what is right, but I end up not doing it. I know what is wrong, but some reason I go ahead and do it anyway. And then he says, oh, what a miserable man that I am. So every one of us are in that battle. And here's what Paul finally concluded in chapter 7, verse 25. Look at it on the screen. Thank God. Thank God. It has been done by Jesus Christ, our Lord. He has set us free. Last week, Timothy began to unpack chapter 5. And the very first verse is, Christ sets us free. And he said something there that I think all of us would understand. In the world today, if you ask people, is really being a Christian a place where you find the greatest freedom? Most of the time they'll say, no, that is the thing that would take away your freedom. But in all reality, in all truth, that Christ has set us free. Now, how would you describe that? What does that mean to be set free? What does it mean to know real freedom that sets us free to live like never before? And he describes it as we begin to pick up the verse here in verse 18. And I hope you have your journals open so you can take some notes. This key phrase, I want you to write it down and never forget, walk by the Spirit. And then what does that mean? We're going to unpack that phrase this morning. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Jot that down, and then let's try to unpack what that means to walk by the Spirit. That might sound like strange language to some of you. What do you mean, walk by the Spirit? That sounds sort of mystical, to walk by the Spirit. No, it's very, very practical. But what does it mean? Let me give you three things. In verse 16, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and here's how he describes it, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There's a freedom that. Freedom to walk. This walk simply means to live or behave or according to the Spirit. In other words, you're walking in step with Him. And when you do that, it sets you free. Sets you free. And only as you walk in Him. See, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And that's not mystical either. It's a reality. We continue to learn more about what it means for the Spirit of God to live within us. If you're here this morning and you've never come to the point to trust Christ with your life and invite Him into control of your life, then what happened in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit actually came to live and reside in believe? The Holy Spirit had always existed. But then the fulfillment of what Jesus did for us, His Holy Spirit actually comes to live within us. He wants to do that in your life. If you've never accepted Him, He wants to come into your life, and He comes in with an agenda. And His agenda is to change your life into walking with Him. So it says, sets us free from the flesh, the battle that we have going on there to receive Him. Here's just a footnote in the ESV study Bible, and I hope you have a good study Bible, but I want you to see that on the screen, is this is how it works. The only way to conquer the flesh is to yield to the Spirit, making decisions and choices according to the Holy Spirit's guidance, and acting with the power, spiritual power, that is spiritually supplied. So the Holy Spirit comes in not only to direct us, but empower us, to give us strength in that battle. And it's a moment-by-moment battle. I remember when Bill Bright was teaching us through Campus Crusade that how we deal with that moment-by-moment battle. And he said, learn to breathe spiritually. How many breaths do you take a day? Well, it's according to whether you're laying down or walking in, up and down stairs, I know. But we take many, 1,000 breaths an hour. So what he told us, he said, every time you enter your mind of a wrong direction, that's where you begin to deal with the whole deal of the flesh, is the way you think. And when those thoughts come into your mind, you don't just let them go by. You, Paul said, you take them captive. And you confess it right there. That's exhaling. And then you breathe in the control of the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther has said that, and I guess he said that, he said, you cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can sure keep them from building a nest in your hair. It's a different thing. So you're not going to be able to keep thoughts, bad thoughts, evil thoughts, lustful thoughts coming through your mind. But you can prohibit them from building a nest in your mind and in your heart and in your lifestyle. But that's where to start. This is how important thinking is. Write this down. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It's a great verse to keep in mind. Be careful how you think, because your thoughts control your life. Be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. You have 2,000 thoughts going through your mind every hour. What are you going to do with those? You have to have a system going on in your mind to always be alert. And if that thought is not walking in the right direction with God, then you capture it. You capture it. Take it captive and cast it out. And don't let it build a nest in your life. He goes on to say in verse 16 and 17, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. That's where the battle is. It's going on inside of us. And it's a great battle. And it starts in the thinking and the attitude of our heart. This is good news. The battle of the flesh can have a very positive thing in our life. And why do I say that? Because the battle helps us grow. I used to play tennis. And I found out that if I wanted to get better at that battle, I had to battle with someone a little bit better than me. As long as I could get some poor old person out there playing maybe for the first time, I could just bash them. But I'd never grow in that. I'd never grow in that. I had to be challenged. The flesh and its lust and its desires will challenge you. And when you wrestle with them and walk in the fullness of the Spirit, and you will grow in that battle. We're not left alone. But in that battle, we are to grow. So maybe the next time you have those thoughts, say, thank God I have an opportunity to grow again. No. You don't look at that as defeat. You look at those battles, and they're a moment by moment. They're a moment by moment. Monitor your thoughts, monitor your thoughts, monitor your thoughts. Because the flesh is going to lust, Satan is going to lie, and the world is going to lure you. And we always face day in and day out those battles. So the first thing about walking in the Spirit is walking in the Spirit sets us free from the flesh. The second thing it says, walking in the Spirit, this is verse 18, sets us free from the law. But it says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law was only given to help us know what right was right and what was wrong with wrong. Law has no power to make us right. Law has no power to keep us right. It cannot solve the problem of this battle within. But when the Holy Spirit came to live within us, and this is amazing to me, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever came, Jeremiah, the prophet, said, let me tell you how this is going to work in the days ahead. God's going to write his law not on a stone tablet that is a powerful force from without, but it's going to be written in your heart that changes your whole desire. Look at Jeremiah 31, 33. This is worth jotting down. Jeremiah 31, 33. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their heart. When God's law begins to be put into us, it affects our conscience, how we think inwardly. It's an inward law within us. Now, mark it well. You can ignore that conscience. You can ignore that spirit. You can so suppress it that it'll not bother you anymore. And many people do that. But God has written it on your heart. And there's something inside of you that will always draw you toward the right. But you can suppress it and go ahead and do what is wrong. So he says it's very clear on what is going on the inside, verses 19 through 21. Now, the work of the flesh is evident. This is what's going on inside of every one of us. And he puts them in, I would put them in categories like the sexual, religious, social, and personal. Let's say sexual sins, the sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And those are always there to entice us in a sensation to fulfill that desire in a lustful and a wrong way. There's nothing wrong with the desires. It's just when we fulfill them in the wrong way. Or the religious kind of laws that is working inside of us. Idolatry, sorcery. What is idolatry? It's probably mentioned more in the Bible than any other sin. Idolatry is just simply meaning you put God that is not God in the forefront of your life. In other words, you're creating your own God. I doubt if any of you have idols at home that you bow down before you come to the church, or you have a quiet time and you bow down. No. But what we do bow down is the God of ourselves. And we're always wanting to replace the God that is with a God that we create. No, you probably don't have a God that you've whittled out of wood, but every one of us are prone to carve out a God that we want God to be. There's what I want God to be like. And that is idolatry. And then he goes on to the social sins that go on, of the strife and the jealousy and the anger and the rivalry and the divisions, the envy, all of that. It comes in and fights. I want my way, and when I put myself on the throne, I'll fight you to get what I want. And so there's divisions. There's rivalry. And it will happen in marriage. It'll happen at work. It'll happen at church. That there is divisions that take place when we don't walk in the Spirit. And then there's another one, that's a personal dimension of drunkenness and orgies and things like these. Addictions. Some of you are struggling with some sort of addiction. Some of you are struggling inside with an addiction. And when I'm talking about addiction, I'm not talking about just drugs and alcohol. You can be addicted to material things. We can be addicted to things like food. We can be addicted to power. We can be addicted to all kinds of things that get a hold of us. I think that sugar is more addictive than cocaine. I've never tried cocaine, but I have a hard time with sugar. And it can be addictive. Did you ever notice that when you eat something really sweet, you want a little more? Have you ever eaten anything that's sweet that said, I don't want any more? No, no. When I take that dark chocolate that's sweet, I'll just take one more. What does it take to satisfy me? One more. One more. One more. We can be addicted to a lot of things. I used to be terribly addicted to Snicker candy bars. I went through a treatment center and got rid of the Snickers out of my life. So we battle with all kinds of addictions. And what he's saying here is, that's a real part of the battle that's going on. Okay, how do we win this battle? Don't look at this as a negative thing. I want you to see the positive side of how we win this battle with all this stuff that's going on inside of us. First of all, you don't focus on it. You don't focus on it. Carl Wendella, I don't know if you're familiar with a great aerial artist that he would walk for years. He said, for me to walk the tight wire is living. And he did that for years and years and years. And he said the key to it is when you walk that tightrope, you always walked with the confidence that I am not going to fall. But he did fall. And in 1968, he fell to his death. His wife, as she talked about, she was also a tightrope walker. And she said, you know, I noticed that Carl, a few months before he fell to his death, began to focus on, is the wire tight enough? Is the guidelines are tight enough? He would just begin to check everything. And she said, I think the reason that he fell to his death is he began to focus on not falling. Could I say that again? The reason he fell is because he was focused on not falling. Go through that list of the works inside of us that it talks about here. The flesh is very evident. What you don't want to do is focus on not fulfilling the flesh. So what do? You don't focus on the flesh, you focus on the fruit. The fruit. The fruit. Now, I want you to look at the third thing. Walking in the Spirit sets us free to a fruitful life. Here's the focus. You're not going to win the battle because you're always trying to figure out how you're going to keep from falling. No, you want to focus on how can I be fruitful? How can I allow the Holy Spirit to work in me to produce fruit? And then he begins to walk down through this fruit, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love, joy, peace. Let's stop there. This is a relationship with God of love, joy, peace. Now, here's what to do on this battle. Is look down through this list as I work down through it in a moment here and say, okay, where is it that I need to be more fruitful? And that's where I'm going to focus. I'll assure you that if you focus on being fruitful, it will battle against victoriously against the flesh. So focus, 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 not on falling. Focus on being fruitful. And what is this love, joy, peace with God? That's a relationship with God. That will drive a wedge into the very thought of adultery, of having any kind of idol. So when that fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace flows from your life, it destroys the idols, the sorcery. It destroys it. And then he goes on to say, not only love, joy, peace, but patience, kindness, and goodness. Look at how that battles against any kind of social behavior, like, for example, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension. Oh, now I've got this fruit in my life of patience and kindness and goodness. See how that works? You focus on being fruitful. What have you discovered so far as I work down through these? These are the areas I need to be more fruitful. Focus on that. There's one more set, and that is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is a personal power of the Holy Spirit coming within us. Of faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. By the way, this word gentleness means power under control. It's used sometimes to illustrate a wild stallion being brought under control. A great power under control. So when the fruit of the Spirit is at work, what does it do? It gives a faithfulness, a gentleness, power under control, self-control. Now you have all these maybe addictions or whatever it is, and this has a power here because the fruitfulness is what you focus on. And he says, against such there is no law. You know, against such there is no law. Jesus used a lot of times, he would use an illustration of the vine and the branches and the fruit, like the grapes that would come on there. And there is no law on the outside that forces those vine and the branches to produce that fruit. What do? They just simply abide, and it's fruitful. I don't care how long an orange tree strains and says, I want to produce some lemons in my life. It'll never do it. What does the orange do? It just simply hangs on the vine or on the branch. There's no law. There's no law that walks by and tells the orange tree, produce oranges, produce oranges. You can go out in your garden and talk all day long and say, produce carrots, produce radishes. I want you to produce. There is no law that'll get that done. But when you're abiding or walking in the Spirit, he's the one that does it. You see how that walk in the Spirit begins to bring a fruitful life into us? And then he goes on in verse 24, and those who belong to Christ, those that belong to Christ have what? Crucified the flesh. Remember back in chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Every person that comes to Christ, in fact, this is the reason why a lot of people don't want to come to Christ. It's a crucifixion of your own desires. It's a crucifixion of your own flesh. Jesus said, anyone that wants to come after me but must deny himself and take up his cross once a year at Easter. Is that what it says? How often? Anyone who wants to come after me must take up his cross daily. Moment. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, that's what happens. It says here, for those that belong to Christ, they crucify the flesh. And Jesus said, you know, there's some pruning that goes on here. And so even though that we have crucified the flesh, what he's talking about here is it is an ongoing part. We have to do some pruning there. Let's look at it in verse 25. If or since we live by the Spirit, we're also to keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, when we receive Christ, we are crucified with Christ. He did that for us on the cross. Now it's our turn that we have to continually, day by day, crucify these lustful deeds of the flesh so that there can be fruit. So why do you prune? Why is it necessary to prune a grapevine so it'll yield more fruit. Why do you do that? Why do you trim back the roses and cut off some of the buds so it'll produce more? Why is it that we go in and continue to crucify? Because that is the way to become more fruitful. And there's always a way in which we want, in verse 25 again, for since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know what it is to wander away, don't you, from following Christ? Some of you, maybe this week, you really wandered away from following Christ. Keep in step. Keep in step with Him when you go to work. Keep in step with Him and whatever He wants to do in your life. You've heard me say before, I really struggled with that when I was a kid, because I had the path of my life all mapped out. And then God began to say, no, that's not the direction I want you to go. It becomes very personalized. And it may not be for you, certainly. But God says, no, I don't want you to go that direction. I want you to be in ministry. Oh, God, not me. And then I looked around at preachers around and I said, if it means being one of them, I'm doomed. I didn't like preachers. I didn't like the way they acted. And they dressed black suit and black tie and all that. So what do? I cop out and I say, I'll do music, Lord. I'll do music for you. And so that's what I did. I started doing youth and music in a church. God sort of nudged me there because I got fired by the pastor. Okay, now what do? Do the thing I wanted you to do the first. I want you to be in ministry by preaching. He said, God, I cannot do that. I even asked one of my friends, do you think I can make it preaching? He said, I'm not sure. He was honest. See, God wants you to be fruitful. And He is the one, watch this, and He is the one that will produce the fruit. There's no law that's going to whip you to doing that. You just abide in Him. Walk in Him. Now, after just a few years, plus many others, I look back and I say, thank you, God, that somehow you kept me on course, even if you had to get me fired to do it. Would you bow with me? Some of you may say, you know, I know so well what it means to get off the path. And God is so gracious that He wants to reach out. And when you're willing to come with your brokenness, it's okay, I goofed up, Lord. And take that seriously. God's arms are always open wide, just like the prodigal son. He got off base, going in the wrong direction. Many of you know what it was like, that maybe you received Christ years and years ago, but you wandered away. You know what that was like. Some of you, even this week, kind of wandered away from following Him. I'd like for you, just with your heads bowed and eyes closed, listen to this song as Hope sings it for us about coming to the altar. So you've got all this struggle going on inside of you. Don't battle with it. Bring it to the altar. Listen as she sings.